Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And you know, Adela Lasanti, who's the collections manager for the Santa Barbara Historical Museum, is a friend of mine. And she happened to mention that she was pulling together, along with her colleagues, a show devoted to St. Barbara and all things St. Barbara. I think that's a fantastic idea for a museum show. And so I got in touch with Emily Alessio, who's director of education at the museum. And she's very kindly agreed to come on today and talk to us a little bit about various things, you know, how a show is put together, what kind of things are going to be in the Santa Barbara show. And a spoiler alert, every so often, Adela's kind enough to ask me for an opinion on an object, something that's been donated, or, you know, would you give us an idea of your opinion of value, or where this comes from, or what the provenance might be. And how I got really excited about this, Emily, was Adela sent me a beautiful limestone sculpture of a saint, female saint. She was holding a tower, mm-hmm. and the tower had three windows. And right away, you know, obviously we know what that is here in Santa Barbara. And then she also sent me a Santos, whether or not it was continental, Spanish colonial, mm-hmm. where the origin story was, et cetera, what year it was, you know, this sort of thing. And so once I got my teeth into those, I thought, oh, wow, I got to find out more about this show. She turned me on to Emily. And Emily is director of education for the museum. 6 years ago, she came to the museum as an intern at the Glen Hill Library there, which is an amazing resource, by the way. Michael Redmond, I think you remember mm-hmm. Michael. Okay, was he your boss at one time?
No, so I was coming in right as Michael was leaving, but he's still with us, so I see him from time to time. He's great. So I was under Chris Urban, who's the current archivist, and I also interned for Adela, too, our collections manager at the very same time, so it was a great experience.
Okay, so 20 years ago, Michael Redmond helped me with something that was an amazing moment for me. And I had just kind of gotten my teeth into Santa Barbara. I moved here from San Diego and I was just kind of getting acclimated. And I had asked Jim Jeter, I think, to give me a tour of the museum. He had either loaned some material. He was a great Spanish colonial wizard and dealer, and he'd loaned mm-hmm. the museum this like 20 years ago. And so he said, we had a mutual friend, so he said, yeah, I'm going to take you around and show you this little pearl of a museum. First time I'd seen the Santa Barbara Historical Museum at all, and I was so impressed. Anyway, I started to get involved with the docent council there, became mm-hmm. a docent. Started to take the courses for the docents, et cetera, went through that process. And, you know, I opened an appraisal business here as well as in San Diego. And then I have also an office on the East Coast. So I opened a business in Santa Barbara appraising objects and art and antiques and collectibles. And one of my first clients pulled up in a truck, in like a Ram pickup kind of thing, big truck. And I could see, my office was on the third floor of a building, and as he was parking, I could see him park. And there was this big map, the framed map in the back of the truck. And I looked at that. It's like, wow, that looks old. Paper looks old, et cetera. This old guy, cowboy hat, you know, the old Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
outfit, and drag this map, frame map, up to my office. Turns out, if you look behind where Michael used to sit, the main desk at the, there's a map behind there.
And it was map that map?
Yeah, that's the Adobe. It was that map. And awesome. So it's an old, I think it's Warnke. It's an old, it's one of the oldest maps of the layout of town. And as I started to get into researching that, I couldn't find, you know, in appraising, you look for comparable sales. I couldn't find anything similar. Either that was original to the period, you know, it's the second quarter of the 19th century. Either it was original to the period or it was a magnificent fake. And I started to look really hard, research that, et cetera. And the client who brought it in is since passed, long passed, but he was apprentice when he was a kid, and he was probably his 80s, 90s when I met him. He was apprenticed as a kid draftsman in an early surveyor, surveying outfit that had been established here in Santa Barbara, I want to say at the turn of the last century. And so his boss was, you know, obviously a generation older than this old man, and he was 90 years old 20 years ago. And so I said, where do you think your boss got this map? He said, well, we're selling the office. We're taking it apart. And we think he got the map somewhere, but it was always, you know, hanging in our offices. And we just thought it was a nice wall decor. I know. So he was willing to sell it. And I said to him, gosh, can you think about, you know, obviously it's going to be an archival piece that Bancroft would love to have it, you know, I mean, the issue is that, and they do buy, you know, they will buy your map there. And I know of a couple other dealers too, Barry Rudman in San Diego and a couple other dealers that deal in maps. And yeah, I could help you sell it, but are you sure? You know, I mean, this is such a landmark map, showing all the old adobes, you know, and so he was like, well, I can stand the money and this sort of thing, and went back and forth. And I called him the big guns, which was Michael Redman, and I kind of said, you know, here's what we can do for you. What we ended up doing was we ended up donating it to the Glad Hill, but we ended up making a facsimile of that map that we could then sell for something, not a lot, but we could sell for something. And, you know, the gentleman was kind of relieved, and I think he felt pretty good about donation. But every time I go into the library and do any kind of research, I look at that map and I think, I can just see that thing. I mean, blazing sun pulling up in the back of a great big pickup. Yeah, and jostling around, and then this old guy kind of hoiking it literally up to, you know, three stories of stairs up to my office. So, you know, and, you know, think about this thing that I've often thought about, people that are in your line of work. How do these things stay around in our world that long when people, it's definitely, it's not museum mounted. It wasn't framed correctly. It was in the blazing sun. It was in terrible humidities. Fluctuation. It was such in a moldy basement for a while. Nobody took care of it. Nobody did any kind of preservation around it, you know. And the map is what, in 1830 something. And it's it's been, what happened? I came, and of course, what I do for a living, Emily. So I came to the realization that there's a little angel over certain precious things, and that little angel doesn't give up. And certain times that little angel will give up and say, well, you know, that's it. This one, his life is over. But in many cases, throughout my career, I have found out that even the people that are not trained, like you're trained in history, you know, I have a doctorate in art history, da 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 da. So people that aren't trained in a certain level, you think, well, how did they why did this old man keep this thing? You know, he had no concept of what it was. Another story like this was a janitor for UCSB in the 30s, 1930s, found an oil painting, which was the first rendition of the Presidio in San Francisco during the Civil War. How does a janitor pass it down from three generations? How did they know? And I've come, you know, after 35 years of appraising, it's like an idea that there's that little angel that sits on top of these things that says, you know, look at me, I'm beautiful, or look at me, I'm historic, or look at me. And the people don't really think that it could be anything, but they kind of have a gut feeling to not burn it, trash it, throw it out. Another similar thing, Adela was with me. We discovered a family that I thought was really worth looking into for a donation. And I said, you know, I'm going to bring my pal Adela from the museum and we're going to take a look. And by the time we got there, everything was in the dumpster.
Oh, no.
Adela was pregnant. I ended up climbing into the dumpster and throwing stuff, you know, like,
oh my gosh,
look at this, look at this, look at this. And the family didn't care. But it was like, what, you know, how do these things live then?
Yeah.
You know, how do they live then? They end up in some, I don't know, there's no statistics, but in many cases, they live to another life. They live to tell a story. And, you know, that's kind of why what you're doing with the Santa Barbara story, that's why that was like, oh, this is just so fantastic. So, first of all, I want to just say a little thing about the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys are new to town or if you haven't seen our museum in a while, this is the Santa Barbara Historical Museum on East De La Guerra Street. They have a number of permanent exhibitions, which are absolutely must-sees. And I'll give you a list. There's the story of Santa Barbara. There's Native American civilizations, Spanish settlement, the arts movement, a new century, paradise in the 19th century, Chinatown and California statehood, Santa Barbara under Mexican rule, and the De La Guerra family, and a few other permanent collections. The ideas for collections and the ideas for exhibitions changes all the time. And we recently attended the gifts, you know, things that people had given. And I was fortunate enough to have three clients who had given things. You know, I kind of egged them along saying, here, this is a good, you know, and so I was able to take pictures of, you know, a donor of an important painting that had just been given. And I begged, you know, the family to keep it in California, you know, keep this work in California. And so, you know, it's been such a fun thing to be associated with the museum. Museum was completed in 1964. People look at it and they say, oh, it's an ancient adobe. Yeah. It's not. It was done in 64. In fact, Emily, that you don't know, is the family. Remember, I was telling you, Adela and I.
Yes, for good. Yeah.
that was the general contractor that did all the adobe brick for the museum in 64.
Oh, wow.
So we knew, because Adela had done research and she knew who the family were. And that's why we got up there and we were okay that. There's
looking
gotta
for
be
some
like,
treasure.
Yeah, there's got to be something very significant to Santa Barbara. And as a matter of fact, there was. And, you know, what the museum wants to do is preserve and celebrate Santa Barbara. And they are one of the oldest cultural institutions. You know, they predate the building. You walk past the building, you say, oh, nice building. I celebrated somebody's wedding there, yada, da, da, da. All you have to do is kind of try to see if one day you can get on a tour or even do something interesting. You got to see one day, or at least believe me when I tell you that underneath that museum is another world. It's huge. It has so many things that people over the years, they've donated. In many cases, they've been things that people have, that have worked for the museum, have saved. Not the least of which is the Santa Barbara News Press Archive.
Yes.
A total saving, you know, the entire staff did not sleep for 2 months, you know, digging that stuff. It's I know, because I helped with the appraisal on that collection, mm-hmm. but they were digging that stuff out of, you know, where the building is downtown, or the old newspaper building. And it was, nobody was saying, oh yeah, let me give you money to help you do this. It was the staff that was literally shoving things into cars and trucks and anything they could get their hands on to save, because there's a time limit on it. That's what it's like to work for the museum. Right now, we have, of course, the story of Santa Barbara is in the permanent gallery, and you'll go and see that from the Chumash to the 20th century. And then those of you who know the museum, you say, ah, yes, I've been to many weddings or lectures and all that. Well, there's the historic adobes. You know, there's the Casa Covarrubias, and that dates to 1817, and then the historic adobe to 1836. And you have seen, I mean, I saw a dance performance recently at the small adobe, and you've seen things throughout your years here in Santa Barbara. At the adobes, and you think, well, that's real nice. But I mean, this is not only is it real nice, it's ancient history in California, and it's being preserved by our museum. And like I say, what you don't see downstairs, terrific, extensive holdings, books, photographs, maps, manuscript, paper, furniture. I helped with the chair exhibit. There's chairs hanging off of, I mean, there's things down there. They're big. It's climate controlled. It's beautifully curated or beautifully watched as far as, you know, that sort of thing. But you just, it's an underground that's just, it's a catacomb of wonderful things that we're so lucky that the museum hangs on to it. And okay, so enough about me.
Thank you for the lovely comments.
Yeah, I wanted to give a big shout out to the museum I adore. And so now, who thought up the idea that we're going to do? And so I got a couple of questions. You can address them as you wish. Who thought up the idea that we're going to do an exhibition of Santa Barbara, St. Barbara? Mm. Who thought up the idea? Who picks the objects to be shown? What's the gradation of relevance of the objects to be shown? That's second question. Third question, how do you put it together to tell a narration, or do you even want to tell a narrated story? Mm-hmm. Four, do you borrow from other folks, or is this extensively out of the collection that's owned by the museum? And then six, what do you hope to achieve? Is it, obviously you're director of education, is it an educational thrust as mm-hmm. an exhibit? Is it an entertainment thrust? Is it more of a crowd pleaser? You know, is it the Raphael exhibit at the mm-hmm. Met right now? Nobody that is going is really a Raphael scholar. It's a blockbuster show. You know, what's the nature? What's your audience? What's your market there? So all those questions. So there's like five main questions there that I wanted you to kind of delve into. Before we do, I'm going to give Emily, Richard, are you still there? I'm going to give Emily 2 seconds to talk about it while we go to quick break, or think about it, I should say.
Okay.
while we go to quick break, then we get back. I want to hear about, you know, and this is a terrific opportunity for me to learn, because I don't see an exhibition from the eyes of a curator. You know, I see it from the eyes of somebody who's into the value side. You know, mm-hmm. I don't see it from the eyes of a curator. So I want to know what Emily has to say about that. And I want, at the end of our conversation today, or in the middle or anywhere else, Emily, I would love to hear some of your favorite pieces that you've brought up from the, you know, folds.
Yeah.
that you are thrilled to show, and if those pieces mean anything personally to you. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hey, St. Richard, let's go to quick break. Introducing Emily Alicio, who is Director of Education at our wonderful Santa Barbara Historical Museum. Dacia Howard is the Executive Director at Della Lasante, my good friend, and she is Collections Manager. And we go back a little ways because we looked at the, what's the Fernald House when, you know, there's a masses of stuff in the front room there. And I don't know, Adela found my name and will you help me identify what's in the front room? And I just loved her right away. I thought she was a, you know, golden child and wonderful to have at our museum. So Richard, let's go to quick break. We go back. I want to talk about the show. What's the name of the show, by the way? What's the formal name?
The formal name of the exhibition is Finding St. Barbara.
Okay. That's fantastic. All right. When we come back from the break, let's find St. Barbara together. Don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking about Finding St. Barbara. It's a new show that's going to be mounted real soon at the Santa Barbara Historical Museum. Emily Alicia is here. Alicia is here to talk about how a show like this comes together at our own Santa Barbara Historical Museum, why she picked what she picked, how these things are. And Emily, just have to say, I'm super interested in this because when I was working on my master's in history, mm-hmm. I had Ray Ashley was the curator in San Diego at the Maritime Museum there. Mm-hmm. And he was our thesis advisor. And so he wanted me to write, which I did, I write about the narrative voice in curatorship. So because mm-hmm. I was interested in how a story is told with objects. It's sort of been my lifelong study.
Yeah.
And so he said, Elizabeth, I want you to go visit this museum. So he insisted I go to the Museum of Jurassic Technology in wow. Burbank and insisted I go to the a couple of very unsavory museums about the neo-Nazi. Neo-Nazi museum, stuff like that. So he was insisting that I go and look at museums because if you look at the way curators show work, you get a certain direction. You are pointed in a certain direction, and it can be intentional. It can be unintentional. It can be, what do they call it? When there's, Richard, what's the word when it's underlying, subliminal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there can be many, many ways. So anyway, Emily, tell us about what Finding Santa Barbara is telling us.
Yeah. So first of all, Elizabeth, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for your years of support and expertise, especially with this exhibition. We have a lot of great pieces in this show, and it's been so helpful to, have your expertise on them. So I'm excited for you to see it when it's complete this July. So Finding St. Barbara, our latest exhibition will open July 23rd. And it explores the legend, the imagery, and the lasting presence of St. Barbara, the namesake of our city, and considers Santa Barbara's enduring fascination and obsession with her story and her. Many people may not realize this, but St. Barbara has really shaped the identity of our city in both ways, very visible and in more subtle ways too. So our exhibition will trace the many ways that our community has honored and embodied, actually, St. Barbara through art, photography, architecture, storytelling, and pageantry. You asked, why did we decide to do this exhibition? The timing of this exhibition actually corresponds with the 100th anniversary of the Native Daughters of the Golden West, Reina Del Mar Parlor 126, their portrayal of St. Barbara in the annual celebration Old Spanish Days Fiesta. So once that was on our radar, we started looking through our collection, and inside of our Glen Hill Library, we have, oh goodness, thousands, hundreds of thousands of photos of Old Spanish Days Fiesta. And with our recent Santa Barbara News Press Archive collection, we've accumulated even more Fiesta photographs, which we showcased in an exhibition last year. So we realized that we have so many great photos of St. Barbara as she's been portrayed during Old Spanish Days at the in the historical parade or at Fiesta Pequeña. And we really said, you know, we can build an exhibition about this. So for those of you who don't know, each year a member of the Reina Del Mar Parlor 126 is chosen to portray St. Barbara during Old Spanish Days Fiesta. She appears at, like I said, La Pequeña at the Mission or Noches de Ronda at the courthouse and rides in the historical parade. She actually has her own float. So we plan to share memories of this special tradition through a selection of historic images from the library and also from the News Press collection. So stay tuned for that. But there's more than just photographs, too. As we looked through our collections, we discovered that we really have a great diverse representation of St. Barbara. If you've been to our main exhibition, The Story of Santa Barbara, it begins with a life-size statue, polychrome on wood from, I believe, the 16th or 17th century statue of St. Barbara. And as our director of education, it is my favorite place to start our tours, not only for students who are just absolutely mesmerized by the story of the saint, but also for visitors. We welcome the cruise ships every year when they dock at the when they dock, and we give tours to the passengers and that you should see their faces when they learn the story of St. Barbara and her legend, and then many Santa Barbarans too aren't familiar with the legend of St. Barbara, so it's always a fun story to share and to hear people's responses from it. So we plan on showcasing this statue inside this exhibition. We also have a couple other pieces that we're excited to share from our collection and that we have on loan from others. We have a fabulous painting of St. Barbara on loan from Santa Barbara Museum of Art, as well as a few others from the Santa Barbara Mission Archive Library. So one side of the exhibition will be focused on St. Barbara and her legend and how our city was named after her, coupled with these fine artworks. So for, again, if you're not familiar with the legend of St. Barbara, I can give you a quick summation. So she is a saint in Roman Catholic religion. She was martyred for her faith. She converted to Christianity. Her father kept her locked inside of a tower, and she added a third window onto her tower to symbolize the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and symbolize her conversion. When her father found out about this, he was not pleased, and he decapitated her with a sword. Fortunately, she was martyred for her faith. So in 1602, Sebastian Viscano, he is sailing through the Santa Barbara Channel. He's caught in a lightning storm, and he miraculously survives with his crew. They wash up here on the shore on the eve of St. Barbara's feast day, and he credits his survival to her. And thus you get the name Santa Barbara from St. Barbara. So St. Barbara, she's usually depicted with that imagery. So in our statue in The Story of Santa Barbara, she's holding a sword. She's positioned next to her tower of three windows. And as you see in this exhibition through artwork and through the ephemera that we have, these images appear alongside with her. And not only just in our collection, but her imagery also appears throughout the city of Santa Barbara too, which is really great. For instance, one that we may be very familiar with is her tower, which is an addition onto the side of the courthouse tower. That's one place. There's statues of her that appear at Mission Santa Barbara. One of the oldest known statues of St. Barbara is at the Old Mission in its museum, and a beautiful statue as well inside the chapel at the Mission. She also appears inside the chapel of El Presidio and inside Casa de la Guerra. So if you really look for her and know her imagery, you'll be able to find her throughout the city. So this exhibition is really a call to action for our guests to come learn about St. Barbara, learn about why she's important to our city, our city's namesake, and then go out and try to find her on your own and notice a little bit more. She appears in public art. She appears in many cultural institutions. Businesses are also named after her and feature her imagery. So it's a serious exhibition that asks you to consider her and her story and her legend and how she's portrayed through art. But we also want everyone to have fun and not take themselves too seriously and try to find her throughout St. Barbara. And we give Santa Barbara, and we give great examples of where she's also been found in the past in St. Barbara and how she's been portrayed. She hasn't only been portrayed by the Native Daughters in Fiesta. She was actually portrayed by the Native Daughters in parades previous to 1924. One of my favorite pieces inside the exhibition is a glass plate that was taken in 1890 by photographer I.N. Cook. And it's of Delfina de la Guerra portraying St. Barbara in the Trades Carnival in Santa Barbara in 1890. And the photograph is crisp, it's clear as day. And she has on the robe, she has a crown on, she's holding her pompron, and then you see her tower portrayed in the back. So it is a beautiful photograph. It's one of my favorites in the exhibition. And it just shows you how far back Santa Barbara, again, has been obsessed with its patron saint.
Well, okay, so I have another story. I have another Santa Barbara, finding Santa Barbara story. Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to just mention that the connection with Vinciano and, you know, with his ship coming in mm-hmm. and getting saved from a lightning strike. That, so every, you know, I'm Catholic. We learn in catechism, all these saints, they have yes. attributes. So one of Barbara's attributes is lightning and
yes.
Lightning and also armoring, cannon and things that explode. Yes. Why? There's a tie-in between that lightning strike of the ship. It's poetic justice. That her father, after he, you know, axed her head off with his sword, was struck by lightning.
Yes.
So, you know, so the story, it's called archetypal. You know, it mm-hmm. starts with an archetype and it builds like a poem builds. You know, it's symbolic, it's metaphoric, allegoric, mm-hmm. etc. So, you know, and it becomes a language unto itself. So that's the first comment I had to what you're saying, Emily. Second comment is my son in 2014 married his college sweetheart, and we were too late to get him a wedding at the Mission.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working with Brother Tim upstairs at the Mission Archive also, because he'd been given some things that I volunteered to help, you know, appraise for insurance purposes for things up at the, you know, Father Tim was up there for, gosh, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he would always give me a call. And so we'd sit up there and loved it up there. That's the Mission Library Archive. That's a whole different thing. And if you yeah. haven't seen that, dear listener, that's a whole other experience. Anyway, so we weren't able to get the wedding at the Mission. So I had my good girlfriend who had plenty of money to lend us her mansion. And so we had her mansion And it was big enough that I could invite my family from Germany to come. Mm-hmm. And so, because we had a bunch of rooms. So my cousin Barbara, as it happened, came with her husband, who was not her husband yet. She's a common law husband. They'd been together for years. They were in their 60s when they came. While they're here in Santa Barbara, my cousin Barbara, who only spoke German, I speak a little bit, said to me, I think we'd like to be married here. I said, well, you've lived together for 20, 25 years. What's the deal? All of a sudden, well, because we're in Santa Barbara. That's my namesake. We want to see if we can be married here. I said, I don't know how you can do that. I mean, basically, you're not a U.S. citizen. You know, I'll look into it for you, mm-hmm. of course. But let's see if we can, get you wed here in Santa Barbara. And she cried and she carried on because she wanted somehow that myth of Santa Barbara bit her. And she looked at all the imagery. I took her to the museum, and she was amazed that someone with her name had such an influence. Yeah. I mean, what you're saying, Emily, it grows mm-hmm. legs, it starts it to grow legs. So she cried and carried on until I found a judge that spoke just that much German and who was associated with the courthouse. And the judge deigned to give them the vows on the steps of the courtyard. And then we went back to the museum and looked at that big sculpture that you talk about, mm-hmm. and, that you use as the cornerstone for your lectures when kids come in.
Yeah.
And she then said she went back to Germany married, but the German government didn't necessarily recognize the wedding.
Oh, no.
I know. So we went. So then my story started where I was back at the courthouse trying to say this happened and this was the judge. And then they said, well, we need to know exactly what was said, and what was said was in German. And so it went on and on and on. But anyway, we finally got her legally married. And 6 months later, her new husband passed away. And she was so thrilled that she had gotten married in Santa Barbara. And she was also a religious person. And this had meaning for her. This mm-hmm. had meaning for her. So she took back to Leipzig, which was the East. She was born mm-hmm. in East Germany. She took back to Leipzig the story from our town, Santa Barbara. So what you're telling me is there's the objects that talk about it, the photos that talk about it, the imagery mm-hmm. that talks about it. There's the legend, the imagery, and the presence were the three words you use. And this goes beyond Santa Barbara. It's bigger mm-hmm. than our town, really. And I have living proof that actually, this is a true story.
Uh-huh.
My cousin begging to be married in Santa Barbara. So, okay, so now we talked about the picture that you told us about, the De La Guerra, and she's portraying Saint Barbara. What about a three- or two-dimensional object in the show? Can you mention something that you're very fond of?
Yeah, another one would be from our collection. It is a painting of St. Barbara dated around the year 1650. Again, she's holding her tower. She's got her crown on. And it's an oil on wood, but it's unique because it is not just a wooden canvas, it's a door. So she appears in a door. We're not sure where it came, where it was originally installed, but it's a unique piece in the show.
That's interesting. It's a door because when you talk about what the original St. Barbara, what is she? She 8th century AD? What's her, what was the date of her martyrdom?
It was a little bit later, I believe. I think it's 3rd century.
Okay. So anyway, we look at the imagery. So yeah, because it was right after the Roman, mm-hmm. of course, when people were trying to decide what Christianity meant.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was earlier. So yeah, it's got to be 3rd, 4th century, something like that. So, well, what the interesting thing is, her tower didn't have windows. It had doors.
Mm-hmm.
It had, I mean, there was no such thing as windows. It had, it had apertures, but, you know, they were, what do they call, like cottage things, you know, where shutters. Mm. Yeah. So I'm wondering if there's that here again. Oh, it's like a poem or a myth, yes. You know, that she's on a door. She's pictured on a door.
Yes. You know, everything has meaning.
Yeah. Right. So there's a resonance, relevance maybe to that, you know, something. All right. So that's it. Okay. So also, are you doing anything outside? Is this going to travel? Are you doing anything in the Adobes with this show?
Yes, of course. So I have to say that this exhibit wouldn't be happening without our gracious supporters to the museum and without our amazing guest curator, Neil Graffy. Much of this exhibition.
I love him.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Much of the content in the exhibition is actually taken from his dear sister, Erin Graffy, her book, St. Barbara, which you can't see, but I'm holding in my hand. And Neil is working with us on this exhibition, and he's actually going to be giving a talk about it in September and a public art walking tour to actually take you on the tour of St. Barbara through where she appears in downtown. So that will be in September. But I did mention that this exhibition opens on July 23rd at the museum's Fiesta History Celebration. Of course, this exhibition has its ties to Old Spanish Days Fiesta. So we'll be opening it then along with another exhibition, Arte de los Mantones. So we'll be showing a collection of the museum Spanish shawls, many that were worn during Old Spanish Days Fiesta. So it's a dual exhibition opening happening at this party on July 23rd. Tickets go on sale July 1st. So if you're not yet on the museum's e-blast, please visit our website and sign up so you can get updates about all of the fun upcoming parties and talks and walks that we have going on and exhibits too.
So let me get it straight. So you're Neil Graffy is doing a talk in September. Mm-hmm. You're using as a source material Erin Graffy de Garcia's book on St. Barbara and her stories of how she, you know, what she's found in architecture. You're doing an architectural tour with Neil. Is that right?
Public art walking tour. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you're also doing a shawl exhibition of the shawls in your collection that comes. Walk down probably many streets in Fiesta.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then was another show I missed? Was there something else I missed?
No, that is it.
Okay. And that's all taking place right around this is starting with the talk or no, it's starting with the
opening Fiesta July History 23rd. Celebration. Yes.
Okay. So the show opens July 23rd, Finding Santa Barbara, and then the history show that you usually have in conjunction with
The story of Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Something to do with Santa Barbara history right around that time of year?
Oh, Project Fiesta, you mean?
Yes, Project Fiesta.
So that is our shawl exhibition. So it's Project Fiesta. Yes. Arte de los Mentones.
Got it. Okay. And I know Erin was a good friend of mine, and I know how hard she worked on that Project Fiesta. Yeah. Terrific loss to the community. Yeah. Yes. All right. So now Richard's telling us we have to go to break. Well, is it a break, Richard? Okay. Oh, and we have to say goodbye. Oh, okay. Couple of shout outs then. I've been talking with Emily Alessio, Director of Education at the Great Santa Barbara Historical Museum. We're talking about Finding St. Barbara. Show is going to be off the ground July 23rd. It's probably like a D-Day for you, Emily, right? It's like, oh gosh, I have so much to do before then. And here I am talking with dumb old Elizabeth. And then there's also going to be lots of lectures, walks, Project Fiesta and the shawl exhibition, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, all the things that once you see this, let me just say the word, iconography. Once you see the iconography that's going to be shown on two-dimensional, three-dimensional paper, et cetera, oil on canvas, oil on panel, la la. Once you see that, you're going to recognize even, you know, people that don't know and they go to mass. A number of our churches, especially the mission, you'll just be, you know, gobsmacked where now I know what that is up there, that, you know, and why that's an icon. And so it, and then of course, not to mention there's been in Europe a cult of St. Barbara for years, and there's, you know, various shrines and churches throughout Europe, especially those associated with her attributes, you know, gunners, people that fight fire, etc. You know, there I discovered a client that had a little badge on it, a badge with the firefighter and St. Barbara with the icon on the badge, you know, from a town in France somewhere.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's all that kind of iconography. But I thank you, and I thank Adela, too, for letting me speak with you, Emily. And
thank you.
Too. And yeah, and that's, I really am excited about this. I'm excited that, you know, it's a young voice. Emily is a young voice that's got a terrific nose for history. And I think that's terrific for our future, too, in Santa Barbara. I look forward to July 23rd. Finding St. Barbara. Okay, that is fantastic. And thank you, Emily, for being with us.
Thank you so much.